This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
We'll update you on the headlines as we talk with our man Paul Feinbaum. Let's bring him in. Damon, hit it, man.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, crane works, loader works, rental works, yeah, the big dog's got it.
Paul Feinbaum on the Roundtable is brought to you by Crane Works. Lift it, buy it, rent it, the big dog's got it. And now, Paul Feinbaum.
And Paul joins us from the SEC Network and ESPN at this time each week on the Michelob Ultra Hotline. Hello, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. We were talking earlier, about as easy as it gets for the selection committee. I mean, they didn't have to think 2 seconds on this. I do think the one thing we were watching is who they put number one. And after Saturday, I don't see how you go anywhere but LSU.
No, you don't. And, you know, it's been debated 1,000 times, but it's an eye test. You're sitting there, you're going, okay, I just got through watching LSU eviscerate Georgia with the best defense or one of the best defenses in the country. And the other team, you know, struggled. And I get it. I mean, I was sitting with Jim Moore yesterday, and he was arguing that Ohio State really deserved to be number one because of their resiliency in the second half. And I'm like, going, I get it. I mean, okay. I mean, you played this team twice, but that's not the point. The point is who's the best team in the country. And even though it's gone back and forth for 8 weeks, LSU is the best team in the country. And anyone who thinks they're not, you know, take a seat. You have 5 or 6 weeks to prove that you're right and everyone else is wrong. But as of this moment, there's no doubt.
Paul, we'll never know, but considering how underwhelming Oklahoma was down the stretch, if Alabama just would have won the Iron Bowl by a point, do you think they ultimately would have gotten in?
Alabama would have been in. I don't know how in the world you could have kept them out because I do think the wise old men of that committee would have been saying, okay, this Alabama team with a second-string quarterback and all the injuries is not better than what we saw against Baylor twice this year. I think it's no low contendere. And I think if you're an Alabama fan, that had to be the most annoying part of yesterday, to sit there and go, oh, we were this close. We were, you know, a field goal away and getting into overtime, or a drive away, or a first down away. And for all of the conversation about Alabama, Alabama was razor thin close to being in the playoff again.
You see the number open on this LSU-Oklahoma game, and then it shoots up to 11, 12, 13 points. And there's talk about, you know, even Herb Street and Fowler are going to the other game immediately. Is this important for Oklahoma and for the Big 12 to be competitive and maybe pull an upset? Or they start getting an impact, a legacy for next year and the year after with a committee where they won't get the shake?
Listen, it seems like every year, different quarterbacks, same Oklahoma. And I'm less impressed by this Oklahoma team, Jim, than I was the year before and the year before. I mean, certainly the Baker Mayfield team looked a lot better than this team. I mean, I thought this team was dead a couple weeks ago, and I think there was a good reason to think they were dead. This team reminded me a little bit of Alabama back in the BCS era, when it just everything had to go Alabama's way, I think, in 11 and especially in 12 to get back in it. And this Oklahoma team just kept moving up. And quite frankly, you know, it doesn't matter whether they deserve to be in or not. I mean, they really were the last team standing. When Rob Mullins said yesterday the debate was between Oklahoma and Georgia for the fifth spot, I fell out of my chair. I mean, that's how ridiculous this season was, that Georgia, which is not deserving at all, was really the next man standing.
Paul Feinbaum is with us, courtesy of our friends at Crane Works. Just look for that big dog down on Fred Mountain Expressway. He joins us at this time each week on the Michelob Ultra Hotline. Speaking of Georgia, we've already had a Georgia fan call today and say, look, I love Kirby. I love what he's doing. But, I mean, basically saying he's got to get in this century of offense. Do you think there will be some questions asked of Kirby Smart now based on what he's done at Georgia?
Certainly. Listen, Kirby Smart is trying to run Alabama 2.0, and it's not working. And I say it's not working because they're not winning and competing seriously for national championships.
He's trying to run 2009 and 2011 Alabama, though, right?
Yeah, well, listen, you can't end the season like that. And you know, I hear Georgia fans saying, well, we didn't have Cager and we didn't have – I mean, hey, when you recruit at the level that Alabama and Georgia recruit, you don't have excuses because nobody else is in that league other than maybe Ohio State or Clemson and now LSU. And listen, I think everyone talking right now on the, you know, it was in the, is a fan of Kirby Smart, but he's going to catch a lot of heat. And, you know, it started with the bowl game, which everyone wrote off as they didn't care. And this season has been a roller coaster. And the one thing the season didn't have until Saturday was that predictable one-off Kirby Smart blowout. Got that now.
Hey, and another big loss for Kirby in Georgia over the weekend, an excellent recruiter, associate head coach, and offensive line coach, Sam Pittman, now gets hired by Arkansas. Big loss for Kirby, but at the same time, if I'm an Arkansas fan, this hire's a little underwhelming for me.
Yeah, that was the biggest loss of the weekend, frankly, because he is exactly what you said. I was texting with John Daly last night, and Lance, I know you know John, but I suggest you getting on this text chain because John is outside of the coach that was hired west of Alabama I know we'll talk about next. John Daly is the most entertaining text buddy I've ever found in my life, and he's somewhat. I let him speak for himself, but he obviously wanted Lane Kiffin, and I don't know what I am going to withhold judgment because I don't know Sam Pittman very well, and I know everyone's trying to draw the comparisons to Bielema. It's one of the more unusual hires I've seen, but maybe that's what Arkansas needs. Certainly, the flash hire didn't work in Chad Morris. I mean, Chad's going to go down as possibly he's in contention for the worst coach in SEC history. I mean, I don't know. We could probably line five or six guys up, but
he's got to be. He's never won a game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going back to Ears Whitworth in the 50s, but Ears won a game, I think. I think Ears won a conference game. I'd have to, leave it up to the record books to prove me wrong. So, I mean, at this point, if you're Arkansas, you just you throw something up against the wall and hope it sticks.
And then there's Lane Kiffin, and I love this for Ole Miss because the excitement level started last night when he got off the plane. It reminded me of Nick Saban getting off the plane in Tuscaloosa. I'm not saying he's going to win championships, but boy, it looks like it's going to be fun in Oxford.
Listen, we've been having this conversation for years. Even my dog's excited by Lane Kiffin. Who is that coach going to be that beats Nick Saban? Which one of his disciples? Will it be Kirby or Jimbo? Will it be someone else? I'm predicting it right now. It's going to be Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin is going to be the coach that beats Nick Saban, and the world will stop spinning on its axis. I think that's his primary motivation to go to Ole Miss, I swear. And you guys know Lane like I do. He's an unusual guy, but he is the most exciting, not only SEC hire of this year, he's the most exciting coaching hire since, Lane Kiffin going to Tennessee in 2009. I mean, there's just nothing that compares to Lane Kiffin.
Do you think he's learned from his mistakes? I mean, it felt like he's rehabbed his image as a coach at Alabama and then as a head coach at Florida Atlantic. I mean, do you buy that he's kind of learned from his mistakes?
I do. And listen, I mean, I base that on knowing him pretty well, knowing him very well. And by the way, I don't want to act like, Lane's had to go Lane's gone to purgatory, spending 3 years in Boca Raton. I mean, that's not exactly hard labor down there. But he knows. I mean, listen, this is a guy, as everyone knows, let me state the obvious, that's been an NFL coach and it's been an SEC coach at a premier program, or at least that, it wasn't when he got there, and it's Southern Cal. He knows what it's like to be on the fast track. He came to Tuscaloosa and, for the most part, dealt with being an assistant. He embraced it until he didn't. So I think he has learned. And he's 10 years removed from where he was at Tennessee when, he was, chicken fighting with Urban Meyer over every recruit. So I feel very good about that. And I give Ole Miss credit because I know everyone there isn't happy, and quite frankly, there are a lot of people who aren't happy about this hire, but Ole Miss needed it, and quite frankly, I think the SEC needed it. I mean, we have the most dynamic, charismatic coach in college football right now, and he will provide not only a lot to talk about, but I think he'll be successful. I mean, Hugh Freeze mastered it down there for you know, all kinds of reasons, but I think Kiffin, you know, has that there's the glow around him. I mean, there's the spotlight around him, and quite frankly, what's wrong with that?
For a brief moment, there was confusion yesterday on where Tennessee, Mississippi State, and Kentucky were going to go bowling, and finally it got sorted out, and Tennessee ended up at the Gator Bowl. Are they happy with that? Was that their choice, and is that the best place for them and as they return to bowl to the bowl landscape?
I think it's sellable. I do. I mean, listen, would they? You know, would some fans have preferred them being in Nashville? But I think if you're a program like Tennessee, the idea of selling going down to Florida is a big deal. So I was obviously up at ESPN yesterday and then flying back, so I didn't get all the machinations of what happened. I mean, I kept reading on the plane. I mean, Kentucky seemed like they were in three different bowls over a 5-minute period. That's a complex thing, Jim, as you know. But I think Tennessee has to look at this season and go, man, where we were in early September to where we're landing here in a couple of weeks, it's been a pretty great year.
I got to rewind real quick. You said a lot of people are unhappy with the hiring of Lane Kiffin. Does that include somebody that's got an office just down the road from us? Is that who you're referencing?
I've not talked to him.
Okay.
So let me make that very quick. I'm just saying that there are a lot of old guard, old Miss people.
Sure. Okay.
And just people I was down at breakfast Saturday at the hotel. We were doing some hits, and they're just the murmuring of the old guard. Please don't misunderstand.
Okay, no, I did. That's why I asked. I did want you to clear that up.
Paul, how do you think Nick Saban feels about this hire?
I think he hates it because he knows Lane Kiffin, and Lane Kiffin's one of those. He's one of the few coaches that he could not control, and you know there are a lot of reasons why Nick just finally said, you know what, I'm letting Lane go. Lane said it, and I agree with him. Getting rid of Lane Kiffin cost Nick Saban a national championship, but it just showed you how sick of Lane Kiffin Nick Saban was that he was willing to risk that a couple of years ago. I'm convinced they would have won the championship that year had Kiffin been calling the plays because he had that kind of relationship with Jalen Hurts. But he's just one of those guys, and they're those guys are out there. They're kind of they're a nemesis. And Lane knows Nick Saban better than any coach, maybe other than Belichick, that I've ever encountered. And, you know, he may not have as much time as he did at Florida Atlantic to try to drive Nick Saban crazy, but he'll do it. And I think it will be interesting to see what he ends up with on his staff. I mean, you've all heard the rumors, and I don't know how that will land, but you know he's targeting people that are either at Alabama or have been close to Alabama over the years.
All right, he is Paul Feinbaum here in 2 to 6 on the Feinbaum Network, SEC Network, ESPN, right here on Jocks this afternoon. Thank you, Paul. Have a great week.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
Interact with us on Twitter @JocksRoundtable.